Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
magnify
the Lord
with me.
His name
together. Come on and magnify the Lord with me.
Get the honor on this broadcast.
I am the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And on Wednesday of this week, we talked about the man of God. We talked about David and Bathsheba. And here today, we find ourselves as a recap of telling you what happened to David and what happened to Bathsheba. And we want to just begin to give you the scripture as a recap from the 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, that 2nd through the 5th verse. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eli, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, but she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." And as we go into our today's study, which we're coming from the 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, we see David have already taken Bathsheba. He have already taken the woman that he's seen as he walked upon the roof of a palace. He have already inquired of her who she was, and when he found out that it was Uriah the Hittite's wife, David took her, and he laid with this man's wife. Afterward, laying with her, the woman conceived and was with the child. And then afterwards, David could not find a way in which to what to do, so he had planned that he would not do the right thing, but he would cause her husband to be killed in a battle that David planned himself, a battle that David put this man on the front line where he would be killed. So here we see that God was not pleased with what David had done. He had sent him into the battle where it was a lot of the enemy was on the forefront, and wherein that Uriah could be easily killed. And David did this in order to hide his sin. But God seen what David did. And as we said on Wednesday, what is done in the secret will come to the light. And God will expose us no matter what sin that we have done, no matter what we do, God will bring it to the forefront. And God will expose what has been done. So our sins will find us out. So when we see in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and laid it in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan the prophet, this is what Nathan the prophet said to David the king. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. David, you are the man. You are the man that the rich man has taken this poor man of you. You have taken him, and you have taken him, and you have killed him. You have taken, in other words, you have taken Uriah's wife for your own wife. You have taken her, and you have conceived a child with her. It was not yours to have, but you have taken this man's wife for your own wife. You had him killed. So God has sent Nathan the prophet to David, and he is telling him in this parable and the story that he was telling David, where David got angry because he thought that some man had did this terrible thing unto another man. The poor man was treated badly by the rich man. But the prophet Nathan let him know, David, you are the man. You are the man. And so he said, thus says the Lord God of Israel. See, God sent the prophet Nathan to David because he's seen what David did. He said, this is what God is saying to David through the prophet. He said, I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Don't you remember, David, when I delivered you out of Saul's hand, when Saul was trying to kill you, when Saul was coming against you, when you had to fear for your life because Saul wanted to take your life? I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. I have set you up as being king. I have gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that were had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such things and such things. Whatever you have wanted, David, I would have given it unto you. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. And thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. David was a man that God loved. God loved David. He seen David. Remember when David fought the bear and God was with him. Remember when the lion came up against David, God was there with him. So many times that David was in conflict, so many times that the enemy tried to come against David, and God was reminding him that, David, I was with you. You know, God sees David, and God knew that he was going to use him even when he was on the backside, even when he was out there shepherding the sheep. God knew that he was going to use him. Remember when God had sent the prophet to anoint the king, and they had gone through the David father's son, and yet they didn't see the one that God wanted to anoint. But God let him know that when he asked of his father, do you have any more sons? And they said, he said, I have one that was out there feeding the sheep. And when David came in, the prophet was able in order to anoint David that he was going to be king instead of Saul. God had him in mind. God loved him, and he still loved him. But here we find this morning that David had sinned against God. He had sinned against the Hittite, Uriah the Hittite. He had sinned with his wife, something that God had given him, something that God had given this Bathsheba to this man. This was her husband. Uriah was his wife, but because of the fact that David was lusting after the flesh, David was not walking in the spirit, but he was walking in the flesh. When he seen this, the Hittite wife bathing, as he was walking on the palace rooftop, he decided that he had to have him. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but warning comes before destruction. And he decided that he had to have this woman for himself. But not forgetting that the Hittite was, Uriah the Hittite, was one of King David's men that was on the battlefield, that was fighting in behalf of the king and was fighting in behalf of the people. And he was an honorable man because of the things that he did. He had high morals. So here we find here that David had to have this man wife. And after he had her, he was with the child. He and and Bathsheba was with child. And when he found out that Bathsheba was with child, he tried to get Uriah home, and he tried to get Uriah to go and to lay with his wife, to go home, and he set things with them, but Uriah did not go. Remember, his plan was messed up. His plan was not activated the way that he planned it to work. Because as I said on this Wednesday, that God had it in control. I believe that even as that Uriah, even as he would not go home to his wife, because he felt that the other men was out there fighting, and they were there on the field, didn't have a place to lay. They couldn't even come home to their wives and their loved ones, and why should he be able to enjoy himself? So I believe that God orchestrated this thing. Although, as I said before, he could have come home, and he could have gone into his wife because it was his wife. But because he was thinking about the other men that was out there, he refused to do it. So David, when his plan fell apart, when David's plan did not work, he decided to call Joab to send a letter by Uriah. Uriah did not know that the letter that David sent by him was his death sentence. He did not know that David had told Joab to put him on the front line where the fighting was so that he could be smothered and that he would die. David did not want the sin that he had done, he didn't want it to come to pass to know that he had slept with another man's wife while he was out there fighting. So therefore, here, God see what this man of God did. I don't care who you are today. You may be the preacher of the hour. You may be the president of the United States of America. You may be a person that own many companies. I don't care who you may be. You could be a part of a fivefold ministry. You could be that prophet. You could be that pastor. You could be that teacher. You could be that evangelist. I don't care who you may be. You could be a person, man or woman, that God has trusted you with the gospel, and you have taken things out of the will of God. And the will of God is that we be saved, that we live this life, that we follow history self, that we follow the word of God. We live according to the word of God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul, and our spirit. So when we love God, we're going to do those things that is according to his word. And as the point that was brought out on Wednesday, it was that while David, when he was walking on that roof, and while he didn't have anything to do, he should have been praying beforehand. He should have been fasting for the men that was out there fighting. You have to be careful when you idle, when you are not in the presence of a mighty God, when you're not doing what God has called you to do. You don't want to read, you don't want to fast, you don't want to seek the face of God. You have caused the flesh to rise up, and you want to please and appease your own self. Here David is our example this morning, that David began to lust after something that was not his own. David took another man's wife and laid with her, and she conceived. And then we find in there is the word of God tells us, and I want to read that again on that ninth verse of the 12th chapter. It says, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" You must know that God sees what you are doing. Men and women of God sees what you are doing. Whether you are the preacher, whether you are the teacher, whoever you may be, you may be a believer. You may be say that you're saved and you're sanctified. You may say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. But when you get out of the will of God, God see what you are doing. What you're doing will come to the light. And here it tells us, the word of God says, and thou has killed. You did it, David. Thou has killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Now, he didn't physically do it, but he gave orders to do it. And he purposely did it and has taken his wife to be thy wife. After she had finished mourning for her husband, after she had gotten word that her husband had died, David, after her mourning, he took her to be his wife and has slain him with the sword of the children of Amnon. You caused this man to die at the sword of the enemy. And now, therefore, the sword shall never, this is what the Lord is telling David. He said, now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus says the Lord. This is what Nathan is telling David. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wife before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wife in the sight of the sun, of this sun. For thou, listen what God is saying. Listen what God is saying to the prophet Nathan. He said, David, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Yes, you secretly did all what you did, all the planning, all the scheming, all the conniving. You killed that man. You have taken his wife. You caused her to have conceived a child. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it, and everybody going to know. You did it to keep from what your sin being found out. But I am not going to do what I'm going to do for you, to you, in secret. And in that 13th verse, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Then here we find that one thing about David, he had a repentant heart. And he repented. He was godly sorry for the things that he had done. Now, I don't know who is in sin. And I don't know who has taken something that do not belong to you. I don't know whether or not it's another man's wife or a wife has taken another man's husband, another, their opposite, that whether or not you have taken this man or taken this woman to be your wife or to be your husband, and it wasn't yours, and you saying that it was God that did it. No, it was not God. It was because it did not belong to you. That woman did not belong to you. That man did not belong to you. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. How be ever? Because by this deed, because of what you did, and because of what was done, David, thou hast given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, and the child also that is born unto thee shall not might die, not maybe, but this child shall surely die because of what you have done. Yes, I forgive you for your sins. I forgive you for your transgression. But the child that Bathsheba is carrying, that child will surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah the wife bare, which was Bathsheba, unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child. David began to pray, intercede for this child. And David fasted. He stopped eating. He went before God in behalf of this child because God had already said that this child was going to surely die. But yet David began to pray, and he began to intercede for this child. And he did, and he laid before God all night upon the earth. And then in that 17th verse, it says, and the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up, to get him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them, because he was fasting on behalf of this child. And it came to pass, the word of God tells us when we read that 18th verse, on that seventh day, that the child died. And the servant of the David feared to tell him that the child was dead. But they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servant whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servant, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he inquired, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst raise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. But I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious unto me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. We see here the word of the Lord in 2 Samuel, that 12th chapter. We see that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And I am petitioning you today that you ask God, no matter what sin, it may not be the sin that David committed. God forgave David for his sin. But he did let him know that the sword was never going to, if you continue to read where I left off on this morning, that the sword will always be in his house. That God was not pleased with what he had done. So therefore, we see that God caused this child. It was God that had caused David's child and Bathsheba's child to die. And later, as you read, that David goes in to her and comforts his wife. And afterwards, she can see, and that's when Solomon came forth. But in the midst of it all, down the line, you will see that the sword did not pass from David because of what David had done. And you have to be careful what you do, how you live this life, how you present yourself to God. David was a man after God's own heart. But he would not excuse him. He would not let him get away with sinning. And the Lord will forgive us for our sin. And know as many times that it will not be the way that God did David. But if we ask God to forgive us of our sin and our transgressions, because the word of God said that we have all sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, it is God's will that you have everlasting life. It's God's will that you live and not die. So all of us have sinned. We may have not done the same sin, but yet sin is a transgression of the law of God. We may not have all within the same place. We may not all did the same thing. We may not have fornicated, homemonger. We may not have been a prostitute. All those are sins. Even lying and thievery, all of those are sins. But God is saying to you this morning that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the word of God said that we shall be saved. And so the word of God let us know that he will cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness, and he said that he will remember it no more. It would be just like you hadn't even sinned. So we know that the sin is there, but God has wiped away the sin that we have committed. He said he will remember it no more. I'm not saying that people are not going to remember it, but God will not remember it. And that's the most important thing, that you don't want God to remember your sin. So if we be true to ourselves, and if we have that love for God and we want to grow in Christ, we need to ask him to forgive us for our sin. And it doesn't matter what job that you have, or where you work, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're black or white, yellow or red, God wants commitment. God wants you to confess your sin. Confess to him. You know, you can go to him. You don't have to go to priests anymore. You can go to God. You can ask God. See, David was sorry for the things that he did. God seen his heart. But then because of what David did, God had to let him know that, David, I'm going to have to deal with this. I'm not going to kill you, but you're not going to die. But I'm going to have to deal with this. Yes, I forgive you for your sin. And there are some things that we do and have done that, you know, in order to make us better, in order for us to grow, in order for us to mature, in order for us to be faithful to God, in order for us to be trustworthy, God does things in order to make us better. Don't you want God to make you better? Don't you want to be that vessel for God's glory and for his honor? Don't you want God to be glorified through you? So in order for God to do that, in order for you to be that new creature in Christ Jesus, old things pass away, old things become new, you have to be real with God, and you have to come as you are and give it to him. David repented of what he had done, and God gave him another son whom God loved, he gave it to David and Bathsheba, and that son was Solomon. I ask you today, wherever you may be, from city to city and state to state, and I'm going to ask you today, whatever you have done in secret, and you may be hiding this thing, and you're hoping that it all passed away. You may have identical what David did. You may have taken some woman's husband, or you may have taken some man's wife, whatever it may have been. God wants you to know that he will forgive you for your transgressions, because he did forgive David. And he will forgive you for your sin. And as I said before, just ask the Lord, whatever it may have been, whatever you did, and you know it was wrong. See, David, you see, when you look at this, David didn't have any pity or compassion for Uriah the Hittite. He didn't have compassion. All he was trying to do is cover it up. He was trying to cover up his sin, not thinking and not realizing that God was seeing what he was doing. So what he thought was hidden, God sent the prophet. God has sent a man, a woman of God, just like he sent me this morning, to expose what you're doing and to let you know that warning comes before destruction. God wants you to repent. God wants you to get it right. So I say to you this morning that it's time for you to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart, and to save you. The word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This morning, I'm getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Why don't you ask God to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart, to save you, to wash you, to cleanse you with the blood of Jesus, to cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. No matter what the sin may have been, God wants to come into your life. God wants to be able to use you. God wants to be able to walk in you. Because God don't dwell in unclean things. So God will bring things to the open and to the front if you don't repent. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, even as I pray this morning on the hour of power broadcast, Lord, I pray, God, that every person that hears this word of God, that hears this message this morning, God, that are in sin, that are in transgression, or God, that have not given their life unto you, those that are backsliders, God, that you are married to the backsliders. So I pray even now, God, that you will forgive them for every sin and every transgression, and God, that you will cast it into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. God, that there be that new creature in Christ, the old things pass away, and all things will become new. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, even right now, for those, God, that in different cities and states that are praying with me even now, and God, that you will forgive them, and that, God, that you will cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, even right now, for those that pray with me, and God, that you, Lord God, will come into their lives. I thank you, Lord God, even right now, for the angels in heaven are rejoicing even right now that they have given their lives to you. They have said yes to your will and yes to your way. We would like to take this opportunity to ask you to join us on this coming Wednesday, on Wednesday of next week, where the Hour of Power will be back on air preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God. Yes, it is the Hour of Power. Yes, God is doing great and mighty things, even through the Word that was spoken on Wednesday and today. God wants you to live and not die. So, therefore, take heed unto the word of God. Please join us on this coming Wednesday at 9 a.m. This has been the preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. May God bless and keep you.